This is the Ned and Josh podcast.
Melaghanas, Edwards Johnson, the team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.
Ned.
Yeah.
Some very, very exciting news in the world of unidentified flying objects.
Yeah, you know Tom DeLong?
From Blink-182.
Yeah.
Some people say Tom DeLonge.
Is it Tom DeLonge? I've just heard it say Tom DeLonge. Who knows? He left Blink-182 for a little bit because he wanted to focus on finding aliens.
The man's
wholeheartedly believes
he's a very interesting guy.
Yeah, he is. He's actually set up, I think it's a little bit nutty that he left an incredibly popular band that he, loves making music for.
Oh, he's a founding member of.
They seem like they will get along very well, but he's,
That's not the case, but anyway. Yeah.
He's actually put a lot of money in, he's sourced a private research group called To The Stars Academy of Science.
Yeah, no, he's right into this.
He's
a multi-millionaire, and this is what he likes to spend his money on, in which case,
God bless.
Worst things you could do.
Exactly right. Honestly, it's furthering science a little bit. There's a couple of videos that he has found, he has collected through this program that kind of show UFOs, unidentifying flying objects. He has presented these to the US Navy, and the US Navy, after a while of what do you want? Well, yes, that's a photo. They've actually gone, we can confirm we actually can't identify what this is.
The internet has collectively lost its mind because ipso facto, aliens.
Yeah. Kind of not really, though, because the US Navy, all they've really said is, we don't know what that is.
Yeah, and this is why exactly how I feel, too, because it is literally just, we don't know what that is.
Yeah.
I can confirm we don't know what that is.
Yeah.
He could have got out a permanent marker and drawn some spirals in the clouds and shown that to the US Navy, and they would have gone, we're not sure what that is.
Yeah. He could have taken a film, because it looks, it's filmed horribly. It's, eerie and grainy and horrible. He could have taken the film out and just poked a hole in the film, and they could have gone, we don't know what that is.
Couldn't tell you.
Meanwhile, Tom DeLonge's going, it's a bloody alien.
You know why I know that this isn't aliens? Because this is, have you seen the story about Area 51 this morning?
Yeah, about those guys getting arrested.
So a couple of guys, they're doing that. Still, people are still talking about that storm Area 51.
Well,
show
it's happening
us the aliens.
In 3 days.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
How much they would guard that if it was actually real?
Yep.
These guys have just been walking past Area 51.
They arrested
them. YouTubers, they arrested them.
Yeah. Go on.
They don't muck around with this. The US Navy wouldn't release a press release going, aliens, guys.
Yeah.
How about that?
What's my name again? also aliens, they're real. Yeah, you guys, you got us.
The song's called What's My Age Again,
Who cares?
I will not have you. I've allowed a certain amount of mocking of Tom. I won't allow you to mock the band itself, okay?
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Ned.
Yeah.
We're all going to go on a bit of a journey together right now.
You reckon you've got a test to see if someone's superstitious or not?
Yeah, I do.
Very superstitious.
We're talking about mystical moments, strange feelings, things that might be occurring to you.
What is this, Enya?
No, it's just a bit of mystical music as we go on a tour together through each other's minds, because I have developed a perfect test to work out once and for all whether you're superstitious or not.
Okay.
Whether you have any inkling of superstition in your mind.
Yeah. Whether or not you go out chipper as ever on Friday the 13th, or every time you walk under a ladder, you go, who cares? You reckon this will get to the core of whether or not you're superstitious.
If you have any superstitious vibes in you at all.
Yeah.
I walked under a ladder about a year ago. Look, yeah. I've got no... I thought I had no superstitions until I did this test. Let me tell you about a news story that's occurred over the last week.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a flight.
Okay.
A plane.
Yep.
Bunch of people waiting patiently to get on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
90 minutes is the delay in the plane's takeoff time.
Standard.
The reason for the delay?
Mm-hmm.
Technical problem.
Okay.
Already starting to make people who have fear of flying a little bit nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. I understand that could literally mean anything. A light could be out and it's just something very small. If it's something serious, the plane's not going to take off.
Yeah.
Then the plane is delayed even longer. The reason this time is a swarm of bees have attacked the cockpit window and have tried to basically say, this is our new home.
Yeah.
They've had to get, they tried the windscreen wipers, they did everything. They had to get water cannons brought over that are normally to put out a fire and blast
the
cockpit
bees away,
window. Only then have people boarded the plane and the plane's taken off.
What were they transporting, honey?
Well, look, let's not get into that because that ruins my test here.
I don't think they were transporting honey.
The plane landed safely.
Yeah.
And here's where the superstitious test comes into it.
Okay.
If you're in the airport, about to get on that plane, and you saw that series of events that I just explained unfold,
mm-hmm.
would you still get on the plane?
Would I get on the plane?
Say you had somewhere you needed to be quite urgently. It wasn't just a holiday. It wasn't, oh, I can get the next one. You needed to be somewhere.
Yep.
But not only were there technical problems,
yep.
but then a literal force of nature,
a swarm of bees,
stopped a plane from taking off.
Something that I've never heard happening before.
Would you get on the plane? Yes or no?
Yes.
There you go.
Because
I would say congratulations to you because you are not superstitious at all.
Yeah.
I thought I wasn't, and then I read that story and I'm like, there is no way in hell I would get on that plane after that series of events happening.
It's funny because as superstitious as I am, I'm twice as stingy and get so frustrated with waiting around, so I'd risk it for this.
The plane was going down. You'd just be like, well, at least I didn't buy that second ticket.
At least I'm on time.
Jeez, I will get those optional headphones now. Thank you.
You're listening to the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
The Bachelor comes to an end. Now, look, I've got to say, I am fairly certain Chelsea's winning tonight.
Nah, no way. It's going to be Abby, mate.
Team Abby. You just followed Abby on Instagram, I just saw.
Don't even say that.
Yeah, just,
really didn't need to say that.
Very much looking for Abby's journey for love to come to an end.
Yeah. I mean, either way is a win-win for me.
You don't have a shot in hell with Abby, but I think certainly Matt, it's certainly up for him to make a decision. I love it when we get to this part of the competition because everyone forgets how The Bachelor works. Like, why won't he just say how he feels?
Why won't he just say, because like, that's it, Abby last night said I love you. Mm-hmm. Why won't Matt say I love
Abby
you?
Abby said some other stuff last night as well, but she did say I love you. My question here is...
Yeah.
Why does everyone forget that he's not allowed to tell them how he feels? That's how the whole show works.
Can we just take it back literally a year ago where a guy was like too committed to two girls and then was like, hey, I'm not going to pick anyone. Imagine if Matt said to both of these girls, oh, I love you too, and then picked one. How angry we would all get at him.
Oh, so mad.
It's not fair for you to be like, open up, Matt. But then also, the second you open up, we're also going to judge you infinitely on that.
Imagine that if tonight's episode is Matt, basically all three of them have a chat at once. And Matt's just like, how do we all feel about an open relationship?
Yeah,
I'm in love with both of you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a bit of a pickle I'm in. But,
I'm in a love triangle. Let's just make it official. People do that.
I cannot believe how many times we forget how The Bachelor actually works as a formula.
Yeah.
It is just, we've got to wait till tonight. I also can't believe how many times I'm going to read a news story and fall for it where it's like Matt teases proposal on The Bachelor.
Yeah.
They always have a box with a ring in it.
Yeah, that's
they
it.
They always do. It's usually either a commitment ring or in very deep end scenarios, it is an actual engagement ring. But 9 times out of 10, it's like, I've got this ring as a sign of my seriousness.
Yeah.
But they always, we fall for the same thing. It's like, oh, he's got a box.
Yeah.
He must be going to propose.
He will just go like Channel 10 ham into this. There's nothing.
This. We've got to deal with a jeweler.
Yeah, yeah, there's a burger ring in here, actually. there's nothing in here. I just have to hold it.
We're going to find out. Who Matt has astrophysics done the maths and decided is the best match for him tonight?
He's looked into the stars and has found his answer.
The question is, who's going to win? All of us, because we're going to witness love and it's going to be beautiful.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast, Hit 104.7.
Ned, the midwinter ball was last night. Canberra's who's who of politics were there, enjoying a little bit of rest and relaxation.
Very nice.
Have a nice ball.
Yeah.
In that big ballroom that you see when you go on the tour.
Kick off your shoes a little. Have a bit of fun.
Well, no, they weren't kicking off their shoes. They were wearing very fancy shoes.
Of course. Stilettos aplenty.
Everyone was dressed to the nines and looked fantastic. This is, like, still at the end of a day, like a work event, though, isn't it? Like,
yeah, you can't.
You know, like, there with all your workmates, and it's not like, you know,
you're just
going to your own 21st or something. It's still technically like a work Christmas party or something.
I'm going to a housewarming on Saturday.
Very different vibe.
Very different vibe to being at the midwinter ball.
Yeah, or just a work party in general. Yeah. So I think that's, you're limiting your fun. You're also limiting your fun by being on a Wednesday night. You got to front up for work the next day.
I do like that the Australian government and like most workplaces are like, we'll have it on a Wednesday so people can't get too out of whack and so the bar tab won't be too extraordinarily high.
Yeah, it's pretty clever.
I don't know if that's what they decided, but that's what a lot of workplaces across the country definitely do decide.
Super smart. Quick question.
Yeah.
Did you think ScoMo might do a bit of a comedy routine?
He seems like a kind of straight down the middle, like no funny business. I'm here for my serious. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have thought.
No, he did. He absolutely did. Bit of a tradition at the Midwinter Bowl. The PM has a little bit of a joke here and there.
Was it good or was it bad?
Have you also heard the rumour about ScoMo and that McDonald's, like back in the 90s?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Ed and Guy, where he, after the Cronulla Sharks lost the premiership, that he went to a McDonald's and...
Look, we're not getting into any kind of litigation here. We'll just let ScoMo do his own comedy routine.
So here we are at the Midwinter Ball. And given that it's in September and spring, we'd like to thank News Poll for giving us the weather report to set this year's date. What really happened at the Engadine McDonald's in 1997? It will remain the mystery of the ages.
Yeah, it really won't.
Can I just give a special shout-out, by the way, to whoever, and this person probably thought, I'll just go to the Midwinter Ball, I'm never going to get a shout-out. Just a special shout-out to whoever was reacting with the woo-hoo-hoo.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, someone's really enjoying Scott Morrison's gear.
He's going there. Yeah. He's going to go there.
Well, I think probably everyone thought he was going to finally get an answer.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. We can get back to doing our jobs. Oh, no, he's just going to elongate this further. He probably didn't. I mean, he didn't say what he did or didn't do.
We MC events around Canberra sometimes, you and I.
Yeah.
What do you reckon the chances are 2020 where I'm seeing the Midwinter Ball?
Slim to none, I'd say.
Is this because you're worried about your clearance, getting clearance?
I'm worried about it. Literally every single facet of it. There's not one part of this that doesn't freak me out.
At least let's try and sneak in next year.
Okay,
right?
Okay, we can do that.
Which will mess with the clearance for later years.
This is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
On 131060, though, we're asking for the best times your parents have ever surprised you. We have Jackie on the line from Theodore right now. Jackie, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Fantastic, Jackie.
Fantastic, Jackie. What did your parents surprise you with?
So my dad's a panel beater by trade, and one Christmas I was very angry at him because he was working on his car at my grandparents' house, fixing it up and painting it and everything, and I chucked a little hissy fit because there was no me time, and it turns out on Christmas Day the car was actually for me.
Oh, that's so nice. And it was all worthwhile, Jackie?
Oh, yes, it was a very nice car.
Yeah, I was going to say, that could have... I really opened myself up to a really awkward conversation just then. But
I wasn't happy with it. Yeah. Told Dad where to go, in fact.
I'd much rather have just hung out with my father, but that's fine. I got a car.
Amazing stuff,
good
Jackie.
On you, Jack.
Peter's on the line from Spence. Peter, how are you?
Hey, how are you going?
Yeah, good. Thank you, mate.
I'm very excited about this story.
What's the best surprise your parents have ever pulled for you?
Oh, when I was about seven, I can remember Mum and Dad sending us to bed as normal, and they woke us up about half an hour later, told us to come back out to the living room, and there was a colour TV, so we'd gone from black and white to colour TV.
Ned's laughing because he's an ass.
I can't
believe this is the thing that I'm jealous of your generation, Peter. I don't think there's probably ever going to be a technology moment as exciting as going from a black and white to colour TV.
Yeah.
Were you guys out of your minds excited?
Yeah, and the bonus was it had a remote, so we didn't have to...
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Peter thought he woke up in the Munchkinville out of The Wizard of Oz. He's like, what's going on?
We go from two cameras to three on an iPhone. You go from black and white to colour. It's the best development in technology.
The closest thing we have to it is like VR.
Oh, it's incredible. Yeah. It's absolutely amazing. My dad tells me that story too, and I'm like, that sounds like the best day ever.
Exactly right.
Lee's on the line right now from Watson. Lee, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you, boys?
Good, thank you,
Lee.
Are you a parent that pulled a pretty great surprise for your kids?
I am indeed. Last October, I pretended we were going on a day trip to go and see my aunt down in Albury.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
We caught the train from Albury to Melbourne, and when we got to Melbourne, the boy said, oh, why are we going to Melbourne? Why, you know? Mm. And I said, because we're going to WWE Summer Showdown.
Yeah.
There we go. That's very exciting,
Super
Lee.
Showdown. We were there too, Lee.
Oh, that's right.
It was electrifying.
Yeah. Mad.
It was amazing, and I'm a big WWE fan, but Ned forgot he was there.
I didn't know he heard that.
Then he completely forgot that we even went.
What it was called. Because it wasn't a surprise so much as me. It was like, Josh, like, have you bought your tickets yet? Have you got your tickets? We need to get our flights sorted now. It wasn't a surprise. It was a daily reminder.
When they come back in October this year, I am surprising Ned, though. It's been ruined. Ah, parent surprises. They're the best.
They are the best.
is the Ned and Josh podcast. Hit 104.7.
Now, Ned.
Yeah.
It is time for you to tell us exactly why.
Yep.
Your life is so dangerous at the moment.
Okay, so you know what's funny? When people come up to us, the two things they say, or there's three things they say. They say, who's...
God, you guys are ugly in real life.
Yeah, that's the first one of thing. Them. Yep. Yeah, that's and that's they just yell that at us usually.
It's hurtful.
Usually the first thing they say is, Robin is whose grandma?
For the record, she's mine.
Josh's.
I'm Josh, and she's my nan.
The second thing they say, which one's which? Well, I don't know who you are. And then the third thing they say is, who continuously nearly burns down their apartment?
Yeah.
Which is me. I have
my landlord listening.
Yeah.
Renewals coming up. It's not me.
It's not you. It is not you. I have decided to dabble in the world of cooking once again. I'm really going to give it a red hot crack.
This is the guy that burns steaks to the point where the house nearly burns down.
That's right.
It's the easiest food to cook in the world.
I smoked them. You know what? I successfully made pasta. I made Brussels sprout and bacon pasta the other night.
That's actually pretty impressive.
It was honestly, I impressed myself. When it came together and nothing was on fire, I was like, oh.
Job well done.
This is great. So I've been looking over some recipe websites and I was like, what can I make? Because I need like pretty low skill to be able to make it. I went on a website yesterday and the headline for like, I typed in like easy recipes. The headline was apple dumplings that are dangerously easy to make.
That's what you want.
Is it though? Mm. What is dangerously easy to make? Am I going to find myself like coming to like snap awake at 3 a.m. and I'm like cooking these apple dumplings going, God, I can't stop. Dangerous.
Who doesn't want dumplings for breakfast?
Well, I mean.
That's fantastic.
No, it would be fantastic. But if they're dangerously easy to make, am I going to be walking through my kitchen and then before I know it, I'm cutting up apples, putting them into a dumpling?
Look, I'll go along on this tangent with you.
Sure.
Dangerously is a weird adjective.
Dangerously
to use.
It's an easy.
Yeah. Maybe they mean it's so easy that you'll get a false sense of security. You'll feel like maybe you can make these in the car on the way to work. Or maybe you'll think, oh, I'm going skydiving next week. Don't need to worry about pulling the ripcord on the parachute. I'm making some apple dumplings as I plummet to the earth. You'll get a false sense of security as to how easy they are to make.
Exactly right.
Leading you to do stupid things.
Dangerously easy is something I would see in like a news story of like maybe there's a big pothole in the middle of the road. Like it's dangerously easy to fall into because you just, if you're not watching where you're going, oh God, I've fallen in this pothole. Dangerously easy to make apple dumplings where I've just like, I don't even have apples. How am I? This is just so dangerously easy to make.
I think maybe, and I'll just do a little bit of a trying to put the journalist's thoughts together here. I think maybe they're dangerous in that you'll want to eat them all the time.
Right.
More dangerously easy to eat.
Yeah.
Sound pretty nice.
I went on this recipe, incredibly hard. It involves pastry, it involves sugar, it involves apples, it involves like maple syrup, involves all
these. You know
what? Basically, it involves ovens.
What you've just told me then, you make it and we'll find out whether they meant dangerously easy to eat as I will consume it. It sounds delightful. Shall we call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
That is the end of this morning's show. It's also your chance right now to get your Amy Shark tickets and the meet and greet. Get on the phone, 131060. First person through will get to go to the UC Refectory. It is happening October 4th. You'll also get to meet Amy Shark. 131060 is the number to call right now. But tomorrow morning, we've got a stacked deck.
We have so much to get out of the way.
If you miss out on those Amy Shark tickets right now, we got two chances to meet and greet and go and see Amy Shark live in concert at the UC Refectory tomorrow morning on the show. We're also going to be catching up with Rock and Robin. We have Husey from Husey and Kate with Ed Cavalier on the show tomorrow morning. We've got too much going on Friday's show.
We also have a massive announcement about something that's happening in October as well.
Too much.
There's so much.
Too much going on.
I almost can't wait.
Jim's got the 9 minutes of old school up next. Music from Planet Funk. Also, Mike Posner on the way. You have a fantastic Thursday, Canberra. I'll speak to you tomorrow morning from 6 a.m. Bye-bye.
See ya.
That was the Ned and Josh podcast.
For personal injury compensation, there's one team that gives you more. Visit mej.com.au.
Hit 104.7.